good questions being raised, whether it's possible to prove something or prove anything 100%. Many people have that idea, or there's always going to be room for doubt. Is that the question? And there's no such thing as an absolute proof. So, well, what do you think? In my opinion, it depends, of course, how you define it, but I would say that it is definitely possible to prove certain. There's different degrees of proof. And from a functional standpoint, an intelligent person seeks to act in accordance with knowledge, with reality, and thus tries to be a certain, to increase the certainty as much as possible. Now, not everything is subject to absolute proof. That's just the way the world is. Question is there anything that you could say is absolutely provable? It seems to me that the answer is yes. Because the very idea of absolute proof is a subjective idea. What constitutes absolute proof? In our framework, for example, the fact that we're all in this room together right now, is that not 100%? Do you have any? Is there any doubt about that? Can one make a case to the contrary? Well, one can say that we're really not, but we're all having a dream or some kind of a... You can say that, but is that a reasonable thing? That doesn't contradict anything because the mind rejects that as being of no consequence whatsoever. You differentiate between certain things. There are certain things that are absolutely clear to you and certain things that, for example, if you're hungry, is there any doubt that you're hungry? So then don't you know that you're hungry 100%? Or is that not what you're talking about? It may be a reasonable assumption that this person committed a crime, but it's not absolute because there's an alternative possibility, however remote. Well, you take a case like O.J. Simpson, that's beyond a reasonable doubt. You may say that it's possible that he didn't do it. Let's assume for argument's sake. But then we have to have a standard because we have to, otherwise you couldn't live. With regard to those things in which we're basing ourselves upon proof. Now, you could have refuted me by saying that when it comes to the fact that I'm hungry or the fact that I'm tired, that's not something which I need proof. I sense that sense perception. And unless we could go there and say, well, so what? How do you know that your senses are in line with reality? But if we assume, if we're going to differentiate between those things that we do not sense immediately, as opposed to the things that we sense immediately, or things that the only way that we can gain knowledge is through, proof, is through, we need things that we need proof for. You follow what I'm saying? The distinction that I'm making is between, basically, it fits into the categories we call first-hand knowledge as opposed to second-hand knowledge. Although it's not that exact. It's not that exact, because even in the realm of first-hand knowledge, you may be basing yourself upon certain proofs. But I'm making a distinction between things that don't require proof, that we accept as real, unless you want to say that maybe I don't exist and this whole thing is, but that doesn't make any sense at all. So if you accept certain things, that you exist, and what you can see, although not everything you see is the way it is, but there are certain things that are the way they are. So that doesn't require proof. I thought you meant when there's something which you don't immediately know, you don't know through sense in that way, but it's through an understanding.
That is what I want
to
know.
What? That is to say where there's some kind of reasoning going on, and your mind has to come to a conclusion on the basis of the facts and the reasoning, and then I proved it to you. See, I proved it to you. Then in that realm, is there ever absolute proof? Or no, it's just a relative thing that we have to function, so we have to live with a certain amount of doubt. And we're satisfied when we achieve whatever, 85%, 90%, whatever it is. Or is there possible that this is 100% proven? With regard to the Creator, the idea that all the wisdom that we see, the design, the wisdom, the intricateness, could not have come into being by accident. That to me, that idea that this is just an accident, or that something can come from nothing, and wisdom can come from that existence can come from non-existence, this doesn't make any sense. It doesn't register in my mind. Thus, the idea that the universe has a creator, due to the fact that it's evidence of creation all over the place. You can't go anywhere. You see the whole thing and everything's... The more you study, the more you'll see. It's all patterned and interconnected, and it's got to be working in harmony, and so on and so forth. We're not going into all of that. But the notion that this happened by accident doesn't register in my mind. I don't understand how people can deny God. Now, prior to Abraham, prior to the discovery of the laws of nature, if you're living in a very primitive state and you don't see any of this, you think there's different gods, the forces, that's why the Torahs are so completely, the whole essence is to obliterate idolatry. Once you discover, people before Abraham, people at a certain primitive time didn't know what was going on. So everything seems capricious. So they didn't see creation. They couldn't see creation. But once Avram at his time came along and saw everything works by the Chukei Shemayim Ba'aretz, that everything works by laws and design, and that there's a system of infinite wisdom. How much more so now? I mean, a few thousand years later, when we have even more knowledge of this. So then, I don't see any other possibility. To me, there's two categories. There are things that are absolute, no doubt whatsoever. And I do believe that there is a realm of proof. You can prove something absolutely. To an intelligent person, unless the person is just crazy and wants to insist that it could happen differently. If you want to deny cause and effect. If you want to deny cause and effect, so then you can't prove anything. Well, assuming we're going to maintain cause and effect. So, of course, you could make that the question. Well, how do I know cause and effect? But let's assume for our purposes that we accept it. So within that realm, in my opinion, you could have two things. You could have something which is proven absolutely, absolute proof, no doubt whatsoever. You could have something beyond a reasonable doubt, and then you could have something preponderance of the evidence that there's doubt, but we have to function. Well, we live that way every time you get on an airplane. Can you say for sure? Do you know for sure that this airplane is safe? No matter how well you know, there's always an element of possibility. There's risks, even if it was checked out. They could have missed something, and so on and so forth. Or they checked it out last week. There are certain things that don't lend themselves to absolute proof. But I would say that there are certain things that do lend themselves to absolute proof. Such as the existence of the Creator and Torah Sinai. One, for example, there's conspiracy theorists that take anything and twist it around.
Like that the moon landing never happened.
Yeah, and make a plausible case. Well, they deny the Holocaust too. That's another good one, the Holocaust deniers. Now, my opinion, yes, 100%. It's an impossibility that an event like that, which was testified to by everyone that was there and all the nations that went to war, everybody that was in Europe. If you deny the Holocaust, then there's no way you can know anything. It's a denial of the mind. Because the evidence is overwhelming, and the trials that they had and so on. So you're going to say everything was staged and it didn't really happen, and then they just printed it in all the newspapers. If you maintain that, then there's nothing in the world. Then you're really denying knowledge. You're denying the mind. Then you don't know. You can say the same thing about anything. But these people that do that, you should know one thing. Anyone who's a Holocaust denier is an anti-Semite. That's another thing. Anyone who was a Holocaust denier is an anti-Semite. There's no such thing as a legitimate position of denying it. I like Jews and all that. I'm not convinced. There's no such thing. Everyone who does so for a purpose. But of course, these people sympathize generally with the Arabs and so on and so forth. So then, by their same methods, just apply it to their case. And so there's no other Arab people. That whole thing is manufactured. That's easy because the truth of the matter is there is no real basis for the position that the Palestinians are entitled to a state or anything like that. You don't need the conspiracy. The whole proposition is very shaky in the first place. But I maintain that that's 100%. But I'll ask you another thing. So what about World War II? Are there people who deny World War II? Well, if you deny the Holocaust, well, why don't you deny World War II altogether? That methodology of so-called thinking, it's not really thinking. It's a misuse of the mental apparatus. If you deny the Holocaust, then there's no basis for knowing anything at all. Then deny World War II. Everything was staged. You can't prove a thing then. How are you going to prove that World War II took place? And then you can't prove anything. So how can you prove that we're living in America, that America is a country? How do you know that there's such a thing as America? It's all staged. So then you're going to have to reestablish everything, and then what are the criteria which enable us, on what basis do we affirm something as being true? People don't want to go there. If you go there, you're going to have to accept Torah Mishnah. The question is there room in your mind for any doubt whatsoever that the Holocaust took place? It's very, very interesting. When it comes to the issue of God, of conviction about the existence of God, what level of conviction does the Torah require of us? It seems to me from the Rambam that it's an absolute, Bemuna Shlema, absolute, to the extent that there's no doubt whatsoever in your mind. Now, a lot of people have a hard time with that. That became a big issue. There is a movement, I don't know if it's a movement, but there's a philosophy, let's put it this way, a position among Jews. I don't regard it as being legitimate, that maintains that religious doubt is legitimate, that one has a right to doubt whether God exists, as long as you're a Mammon, as long as you believe. But you can believe with doubt and entertain doubt. I'm not going into all the sources right now, but I reject that. My understanding of everyone, V'yadat hayom v'ashevos elavavecha, you shall know this day, and it should be established in your heart. Ki ad Hashem hu Elokim, that Hashem is the God, ain od. There is no other. It seems to be clear, Bemuna Shlema, that one has to believe in God. Why does it say Bemuna Shlema? With a complete belief, that is to say, an absolute conviction, that there's no doubt in your mind whatsoever. Such that if a person is struggling and he's kind of not sure, he's wavering, he has a lot of him believing that there is, but then he has doubts, he's not 100% convinced about God. It seems to me that he does not fulfill that requirement. I'm not judging or whatever. I mean, I'm not going to. God will judge him, but he, in terms of whether that is sufficient and he fulfills the requirement of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it seems to me that does not. And the Ramban speaks about this in terms of the Aseret Dibros and the whole Torah. You saw, you have seen to know. Ata Harei Saladas. You have seen to know that the requirement in Judaism is that one knows. One knows and one has complete conviction and that there's no doubt. There's no room for doubt. So, a lot of people don't like that idea. They don't like that. They want to be on the fence with it. They want to be somewhere in the middle. They don't want to renounce God, so they want to believe in God, but they also want to have a lot of freedom in their lives and room for doubt. So that's the absoluteness of the belief is scary to many people because it connotes Once I believe in God completely, I lose my freedom. Then I have no choice and I have no excuse for the way in which I live my life. If I'm living my life in a not such a holy way, people want the freedom. However, again, I maintain that that is not fulfilling the requirement. Now, if a person says that they can't or whatever it is, and they do have doubts, well, you have doubts, you have doubts. But then I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm not getting into the issue of fault. God judges each person. But it seems to me that what we need to do to strive for is to increase our knowledge, our understanding, and our conviction. Because that's the foundation of foundations. The foundation of perfection is knowledge of God, Yedias Hashem. And if a person doesn't have Yedias Hashem, so then it's not going to have any effect upon him. It's the awareness of God, the reality of God. The reality of God, that's what is the basis of our whole lives, to try and improve us, perfect, to imitate God. Yeah, you can't imitate God if it's not a reality, if there is no God. And well, even if you say, well, I like the idea, emotionally I like to believe in God, but I'm not sure that he exists. But then how can you emulate a being that the first thing is you have to have conviction that he exists? How can you fulfill the mitzvah to fear God? To fear God, that is, to have a certain awe that imposes upon us a certain humility, a certain fear, a certain compassion. But you're not even sure that God exists. So how do you have fear of God? How do you strive to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul? Even if he takes your life, you still love God and so on. But you're not even sure that he exists. That doesn't make any sense to me. Remember, the first thing is you have to have conviction of the reality of something's existence before you can have a relationship with it. You know, I'm not even sure that you exist. So how can I be your friend? It's imaginary. Thus, one has to dedicate themselves, and that's why it's important. Study of Torah and the study of science. The more you see, V'einenu sirenu malchusecha, with our own eyes we see your kingship, the kingship of God. That's the primary focus. I think these so-called theologians who try to put forward this position that it's okay to be doubtful, that still you're still considered a ma'amin, I think it's because of their own intrinsic dilemma. They're in caught up in that. Since they themselves partake of doubt, that's, by the way, Eliyahu, Bahar Carmel, on Mount Carmel, when he told them to get off the fence. If you believe in Baal, then go for it. But don't be. They were a good illustration of those who were trying to sit on both sides of the fence. And he said, better to give up God and embrace Baal, or give up Baal and embrace God. But you can't. You have nothing this way. This is nothing. That's not a position. That's a very good illustration of our point. Most people would say it's not so terrible. There are a lot of people, when you tell them that you should believe in God wholeheartedly and not to give in to the emotion for any kind of superstitious things or any kind of things that are not mandated by the Torah, because that's just the primitive emotions, and it's not wholehearted with God. So a lot of people have the attitude, I believe in God, but it just doesn't hurt either. You know, that's not a belief, because it's not pure, it's not absolute. To the extent that you're going for the other thing, you're denying that. I mean, either God or the other thing. You can't have both. You got to choose. That's Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, where you have to have one, give up God then. You're better off because at least you have something. It's a false belief, but at least if your person is clinging to a false belief, he may review it and give it up. But if he doesn't, but if he thinks he's got both, then that's it. He's finished. And he has nothing in reality because you don't have God anyways. When we talk about an alien, that aliens exist and so on, all these things do not make any appeal to the mind. They're just words. You can say whatever you want to say. They don't have an impact. A real doubt is something which will have an impact. The mind will have to acknowledge that there's another possibility over here. By the way, in terms of a logical possibility to account for the universe, there are alternatives which do make sense. That is to say, for example, the Aristotelian, Aristotle believed in God, but he didn't accept creation. He thought that the world exists eternally. So that's not a crazy idea. The Rambam says that we can entertain such an idea, but the Torah is not in accordance with that. The Torah. So it's just a question as to whether the relationship between the world, there must be a relationship. You can't imagine the universe without the Creator. Well, he didn't call it the Creator, without God. But the question is in terms of the relationship between God and the universe. That's a very important idea in terms of Pesach. The Ramban says that's the whole idea of the Nisim in Mitzrayim, of the miracles in Mitzrayim. And that's why the Aseret Dibros begins, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Asher Hoteitzicha, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And of course the question is why is God identifying himself in terms of Egypt, not in terms of creation? But the Ramban explains that the purpose of the Exodus, that's why it's so important, is not just to establish the existence of God, but to establish the relationship between the universe and God. That is to say that the universe is a result of creation, that the universe is not eternal, as opposed to the alternative view. Now, without the Torah, Avram came to the conclusion that there was a creator. Not just that he recognized the existence of God from the universe, but that God created. That made sense to him, that the world was not eternal. But the Rambam says that the idea of the eternity of the universe is not crazy. It's a legitimate position. But we know from the Torah that that's not true, that the relationship is one of creation. What I'm trying to say is that there is no doubt that God exists. All the great scientists believed that God exists. Einstein believed that God, from his study of the universe. But in terms of the other question, whether the universe, in one way or another, stems from the very existence of God, or whether it's an act of creation of God, so to speak, that is a legitimate question. No one can imagine a universe such as it is without the source. The source is God. If you want to use a different word, the source. Okay? And that's why you find all of this infinite wisdom in the universe. But whether... I can't go into this much further right now. Again, I'll give you the illustration. The example would be, so to speak, the relationship between the Aristotelian version, the wall and the shadow. That the very existence of the wall is the cause of the shadow. So there's a causal phenomenon, but it's co-eternal. Whenever you have the wall, you have the shadow. But that's not the Torah view. The Torah view is that's not the case. That's not the relationship. That doesn't explain it. People who study this universe and cannot accept God, to me, it's not a legitimate intellectual position. It stems from a certain defect. Omar Novo Belibo Ein Elokim. That's what David Mel said. The Novo. A Novo is some type of a base individual. He says in his heart there's no God. He's telling you that the reason why people do not come to this conclusion is because of certain inner defects. That they are egotistical, instinctual, and they can't tolerate the notion of God. If a person can't tolerate the notion of God going in, he partakes of that imperfection and wants to magnify his own existence, which is nothing in the scheme of things. So then he won't see God. But that's what he's saying. It's when you study the whole book of Tillim is filled with that. The magnitude, when you study the wisdom of God, the works of his fingers and so forth, to study the wisdom of God as manifested in the universe. So then that's the only conclusion. I mean, God is there, so to speak. God has revealed himself. If a person refuses to see it, that's because of his inner emotions. It's not an idea that he likes. Just to conclude this discussion, one's conviction about the Torah and the Creator should be absolute. That's the foundation of foundations.